You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States, so you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Head Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number one is on the horizon. A lot to get to. Top 25 battles across the landscape of college football. Nothing better.
Yeah, the conferences are all getting bigger, and I think just the interest in football gets bigger. It's going to be a great season. It's going to be critical to everybody from coast to coast now.
Yeah, Coach, before we get into the week one matchups, especially in regards to the ACC, we did have an upset in Ireland last week. Florida State booked as a 10.5, 11-point favorite over Haynes King and Georgia Tech. They started slow, 14-14 at halftime, and Haynes King and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets strike the upset 24-21, opens the door up for not just the conference, but more importantly, the college football playoff odds.
It sure does. You know, it felt like an upset, but it didn't look like an upset. You know, they didn't look like they got beat by somebody that got lucky. Georgia Tech played about as well as they could, and now Florida State's got to be behind the eight ball because they lost to a conference team, and now it's a conference. They've got a lot more games with people that I think are a little bit better than Georgia Tech.
Absolutely. The biggest thing and takeaway I noticed in regards to Florida State, both offensively and defensively, is that they came out a little bit flat, right? They had a lot to prove being snubbed from the college football playoff last year, 13-0 in regards to the regular season and conference champs over Louisville. DJU comes back into the conference from Oregon State, and they started slow. Even though their offensive coordinator was suspended for that matchup, they couldn't get the rushing attack going consistently, put them into long third down situations, and that ultimately put a lot of pressure on their defense to make stops in that ballgame.
Yeah, I think they played not to lose. You know, I'm always coming at it from a coach's perspective. I think they thought if they just kind of run the ball, don't turn the ball over, dump off some short passes, they're better than Georgia Tech, and they're going to win because of that. But after a couple of series, as Georgia Tech continued to play them head-to-head, they had to change their game plan, and they never did it. I never saw them go deep enough to really try to exploit the secondary. And they, you know, after that first drive, I mean, they had 58 yards rushing in the first series. They had 40 yards rushing the rest of the football game. Georgia Tech physically whipped them on both sides of the ball.
Now, when you look at that outcome last week, a lot of people are selling Florida State big picture, and the sentiment is that Florida State was not deserving last year of making the college football playoff. I've said time and time again that you cannot take last year's performance and put it into this season. You had a lot of moving parts. DJU was not the quarterback last year. You lost a ton of talent, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball. And I've also said as well, coordinators need to understand how that talent responds in regards to game situations, right? Not every player is the same, and there is no preseason in terms of college football. We've seen Florida State now booked early in the season as the front runners to win the conference at plus 290. They're now 6-1 odds to make the ACC championship and win it. Do you count Florida State out, or do you still feel they have a shot to get back into this thing?
Oh, I don't think you can count them out yet. It's how they respond to this loss. There have been years that I had an early loss, and that took me momentum, took me the players' attitude change. I think they did not play open enough. They go after every game. They've got to go after people like they're going to have to win, find a way to win, and not lay back conservatively like that. So I'm anxious to see a couple of more games where they play against Boston College this week before I pull away from them completely. But they have definitely put themselves behind the eight ball.
Yeah, this opens the door now for both Clemson and Miami, respectively, to potentially make some noise. When you see Florida State come right out in terms of week zero and lose a conference game, that opens the door. That brings out the best in regards to Clemson and Miami this coming weekend. Let's start with the battle in Georgia. It's the top-ranked Georgia Bulldogs squaring off against Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. These teams met a couple of years ago. DJU was sacked 7 times. Georgia did get the outright win as a 3-point underdog, 10-7. Now they're 13.5-point favorites. Georgia has won 7 of the last 8, Coach, in the series. Last time Clemson won was back in 2013. They're going to need a great effort to knock off the Bulldogs Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Georgia's been beating everybody. What, 42-2 over the last 3 years? 39 straight regular season games they haven't lost. They've got a better football team. They've got more great players than Clemson. When I was at Clemson 3 or 4 years ago, they were loaded with talent. Trevor Lawrence, Etienne was at running back. Right now, they're not quite at that caliber level, but they're going to be very good now. This is not going to be an easy go for them. I still like them to beat the spread, but I'm not sure they're going to have a chance to beat Georgia.
Well, the biggest thing for me, and when you look at Clemson big picture, coaches, from 2014 to 2022, an 8-year period, right? Dabo was absolutely dominant in regards to the ACC. They had a winning percentage over 800, 73-7 straight up against ACC opponents heading into last year. And then they started week number one as an 11.5, 12-point favorite on the road against Mike Elko and Riley Leonard, and they lost the ball game outright by double digits. They lost 4 conference games for the first time since 2014. They did regroup at the end of the regular season. They won 5 straight down the stretch by an average margin of victory of 10.6 points per game. They got the victory over Notre Dame and Sam Hartman and got the bowl win over Kentucky. But Cade Klubnik needs to step up in this matchup. He was inconsistent last year. Going up against that Georgia defense, he needs a better effort.
Yeah, and he did not have great games on the road. He played most of his great games at home. That's a great atmosphere in Clemson. And this one's played in a tough stadium to play. It'll be mostly Georgia fans in that stadium. So it's going to be a little bit tougher against this team. But basically, the defense, they'll put a pressure on him. They've got to find a way to run the football, keep the pressure off him a lot. I do think they'll keep it close. I think Georgia will pound that football knowing they're a little bit physically stronger. Their offensive line is strong. I think they're going to pound the ball. But when you do that on both sides of the ball, it keeps the game closer into the fourth quarter, into the third and fourth quarter. And that's kind of when Clemson, they can get their confidence up if they can stay close at halftime.
You look at Kirby Smart and you look at Georgia, right? They won 2 of the last 3 national championships. This is a team heading into this matchup that has won 29 of the last 30 games. Carson Beck, a Heisman Trophy frontrunner, came from BYU in Provo, and Kirby has done a fantastic job in regards to the transfer portal. On the flip side, we see Dabo that hasn't taken in 1 transfer, and more importantly, really against that, right? So can he win, not just in regards to the ACC, but big picture, can Dabo get back on top without taking in transfer talent?
I think Dabo's future career is based on whether that happens or not, Joe, because he's made his mind up. The culture, he loves the culture of Clemson, bringing guys in there who understand what living and being a part of Clemson's all about. And he's a brilliant coach, I believe. I've been around him a lot. If anybody can do it, he can. But I just don't know if you cannot change with the times. Everybody that's winning is taking portal transfers, even if he's a great quarterback or a great running back or a great wide receiver. It's just the way things have to happen. But I'm anxious to see how this goes. But because Dabo right now is sticking with his plan of the cream has got to come to Clemson, and the culture has got to be a Clemson style of culture.
The biggest thing, too, in regards to breaking down the offense and the rushing attack from the time of Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence has regressed. When Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne won a national championship about 3 or 4 years ago, that offense was averaging around 240 rushing yards per game. They could run it and they could throw it. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since the days of Amari Rodgers, which dates back about three seasons. And when you look at Phil Maffa and this rushing attack now, they only average around 170 rushing yards per game. What do they have to do, Terry, in order to win this ball game Saturday afternoon?
They've got to attack the field vertically. They've got to hit the ball downfield. That's what opens up the running game. When Trevor Lawrence was there, I was an analyst there, and I was at every game. They keep the defense on their heels, throwing the deep ball, having great plays downfield. That keeps the safeties to the edges or deep, and then you're allowed to run the football. I just don't think you can do in the better teams in the conference, the better teams in the country. You can't just line up and say, I'm going to run the football. I think you've got to tie it in to your passing game, especially at Clemson with what they've got right now. I think they've got to make sure they attack downfield. Downfield and get Georgia at least making sure their safeties are not coming up to make all the tackles.
Absolutely. I think when you look at the Clemson defense as well, the big thing over the past 3 or 4 seasons, even when Brett Venables was there, is that they played tremendous third down defense. Last year, they were in the area of about 35% holding opposing offenses. They're going up against the number one ranked FBS third down offense in the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia was tied with LSU and Jaden Daniels last year, converting 55% of their opportunities. They're going to need a much better effort in regards to, you know, holding Carson Beck and Trevor Etienne off the field on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Georgia, this is the way they play. Great defense, a quarterback that manages the offense, that's a smart, high IQ quarterback that runs the ball well and throws the ball well, and they'll mix it up, run and throw with great defense, always have a top quarterback there, and that's kind of Georgia's style, so you can't stop one thing in particular. They're so well balanced, and of course, you got to look at Kirby Smart. He's kind of a young Nick Saban. Everything he does is right now as good as Nick Saban was doing.
Absolutely, and we'll see how it plays out. Turnovers are going to be critical as well, Terry, right? If you could force a short field against that Georgia defense and give Cade Klubnik multiple opportunities to score, I think they could be in this ballgame from start to finish. The biggest thing, too, for me is that when you watch Cade Klubnik, at times last year, especially in that game in Death Valley, where they were toe-to-toe with Florida State, they had the opportunity to go up 14 points. Klubnik holds the ball way too long. They get the scoop and score, and that turns the whole momentum in regards to Florida State in order to win that matchup in overtime. If Klubnik could start fast, maybe build some confidence, maybe they have a shot. And I think the biggest thing, too, that Georgia does is they play bully ball, right? They start fast, just the way Alabama used to do under Nick Saban, and put the pressure on opposing offenses. How critical is it for Clemson and Dabo to score first in this matchup?
I think it's important to score first or keep it close to score quickly second, because Klubnik has to keep his positive attitude. He's got to have confidence. And they've read all offseason about maybe they're not back, maybe not as good as they used to be, and they've read how great that Georgia is. And I think that gets in the head of players a lot. Do they have real confidence or just going to come out there and just kind of make people believe they do? We'll see that well through the first quarter into the second quarter. If Clemson comes out, you know, that old swagger Clemson's always had, they've got to have that even against a team like Georgia.
Now we'll see how it plays out. 3:30 Eastern time, top-ranked Georgia and Clemson will battle. I sort of like the Clemson Tigers to cover the spread at 13.5. I think Georgia ultimately wins this matchup.
I'm with you. I think it stays close. I think it stays close the way they play. And I'm with you. I've got Clemson beating the spread.
Another big matchup, Coach, takes place in Gainesville. You got Billy Napier and the Florida Gators underdogs against Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes. A lot of optimism surrounding Miami this year. They have a 9.5 win total. They have one of the better odds now to make the college football playoff with the Clemson Tigers. After the Florida State loss, you bring in Cam Ward from Washington State. You bring in former Oregon State running back Damian Martinez. It seems like the sky is the limit in South Beach, but Miami only has one double-digit winning season dating back to the days of Larry Coker. You think they get this victory on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I do think they get the victory. I think they've got more talent and they've got a better team. I think Florida, as much as this game is so critical, and for Napier, Billy, he's got to win this thing. His schedule gets tougher and tougher and tougher. The last five are almost unbearable. But he's got so much pressure, the players do. But mainly, I just think Miami's more talented. It's a hot, hot, tough place to play. But there's one team, whether it's hotter than it is in Gainesville, it's down in Miami. So they'll handle the heat pretty well. But I just love that Cam Ward is a special guy. If they use him right, you know, if they let him just look and run. Look, I don't like look, run. With a guy like him, I said look, run. One look at one receiver, then take off, because he's incredible with his feet. And I think he's going to be the difference in Miami. And everybody in Miami is talking about him.
He had a great spring game, completed 19 of 23 passes, 243 yards, two touchdowns. We know about Miami's offense. He's taken over for Taylor Van Dyke that now transferred out. He's at Wisconsin. But that defense for Miami needs to get better. Also for Miami, Coach, they need to be better on the road. We saw them struggle last year against North Carolina and North Carolina State, respectively. They were a 2-4 team on the road or on a neutral field site. They lost those four games by an average margin of defeat of 9.6 points per game. And on the flip side, we talk about Billy Napier being on the hot seat, Coach. Throughout his tenure in Gainesville, an 11-14 overall record, but he is 9-4 at home over the past couple of seasons. How important is it for Florida to get that home crowd cooking in this matchup?
Well, that's exactly what the crowd's got to be a part of the football game, because that's a rowdy place to play. I coached in there many times as a head coach at Auburn, and it's just hot, and the crowd is really into the football game. And they've always had great talent down there, because I played against them when Steve Spurrier was there, and their team was so good. But that's the way they have to play, because I'll tell you something else. The one thing about Miami's defense that I like, they've got about five guys on that defensive line that are NFL-type players. They can put pressure on that quarterback. So if they can put a lot of pressure on that quarterback and stuff the run, that's where it's got to start for Miami if they're going to go into that kind of place and play good enough to beat Florida.
I want to ask you, because you look at the statistics for Miami overall, when they lose matchups, they're not running the football consistently. A couple of years ago, in all their losses, they averaged only 83 rushing yards per game. Last year, in all their losses, it was down up a little bit, down in the area of about 132 rushing yards per game. I look at it as if they can't run the football consistently and stay in third down manageable situations, that puts pressure on your offensive line. That puts pressure now on the quarterback. And Cam Ward now in a new scheme, how important is it for the rushing attack to take over on the road?
Well, Joe, you got to remember Cam Ward is part of the rushing attack. When I said look, run, that means you take a look at one receiver, maybe look, run, maybe two receivers, but you don't go look. You got to get rid of that ball. He's part of the running game, and that's going to be a part of their offense. If you've watched him from last year, he leaves the pocket quite often to make huge plays where another coach might say, stay in the pocket a little longer. I think him being a part of the running game is critical, especially when you call a pass and he sees a lane open up and he takes it immediately. They stay away from those long yardage situations.
On the flip side, when you look at Florida's offense, they have a signal caller in Graham Mertz that was very efficient last year. He threw for over 200 yards per game, completed 72% of his passes, 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, Coach. He was very efficient in the times that he was there. What do you see out of this offense in regards to Graham Mertz? Because in my opinion, he might be the more experienced quarterback playing in the same scheme and more importantly, playing at home in this ballgame.
Well, you know, I think he's an outstanding quarterback in another situation, maybe at a place having a little more success. He would have more success because I think they can win with Mertz. I think he has the talent and the ability, but can they mix the run in? Can they protect him when he has to pass the football? And can they stop the other team? It's a big picture situation at Florida because they've lost games in different ways, but I think Mertz is the kind of guy that can win it for you at quarterback if he's just given enough protection. The running game keeps the pressure off, and the defense keeps them in the game.
Coach, depending upon how this outcome goes, right? You know, Crystal Ball is expected to be a 10 or an 11 win football team. They lose this game on the road. A lot of pressure on Mariota to see if he's going to be the guy, right? They thought it would be Mark Richt. He got them to an 11-0 record. They lost in regards to the last regular season game against Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh about 5 years ago. Since that point, it's been a regression. Manny Diaz couldn't bring it home. If Mario can't do it, especially early on, Do you foresee him being the head coach in 2025?
Well, I don't think he's on quite the hot seat that Billy Napier is on. Not quite that bad, but he's got to win. Now, remember, Miami playing against Florida is non-conference, and that's a little bit different, just like Clemson playing Georgia. Florida State lost a conference game, so there's some comfort there in that, because this is going to be a close ball game. Now, this is not an easy slam dunk for Miami. This is going down to the wire. The spread's pretty good. I like Miami, but not by much, maybe a field goal. But I don't think, Mario, if they play well, win or lose, and play real well, if they can keep their head in the game and they haven't lost a conference championship game yet, they can overcome that.
Yeah, we'll see how that game plays out. It's a 3:30 kick in Gainesville. Miami booked as a 2.5-point favorite. Florida needs this win just as badly. We'll see how it plays out. I actually think Florida gets the victory. I think the fact that Graham Mertz is a little more experienced and a lot of moving parts for the Hurricanes, but that's why they play the games, Coach. I want to talk in regards to Georgia Tech, because they now are 1-0 in regards to the conference. They have a little bit of momentum. Haynes King played lights out in terms of that matchup. The rushing attack with Jamal Haynes got going. He rushed for 75 yards against the Seminoles last Saturday. They take on Georgia State. They opened as a 17.5-point favorite. It's now up to 21.5. What do you think about Georgia Tech potentially being a sleeper in terms of the conference this year?
No, I think they became a sleeper last week after beating Florida State like they did, because, like I said, it did not look like enough upset. They ran the ball for 190. They held Florida State to 98. They did not turn the ball over. The quarterback had 16 turnovers last year to be the worst in the ACC, and physically whipped Florida State that ball game. So, you know, Del McGee, the new head coach at Georgia State, played for me. Damian Craig, his assistant, played. They were both played for me at Auburn. They love to coach football. They love and have a passion for the game. But this is his first game ever as a head football coach. And Georgia Tech right now is a lot different than what we thought they were going to be 10 days ago.
When you see the progression, too, of Haynes King, last year he was turnover prone, 27 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, played flawless against the Seminoles defense on Saturday, also very versatile in regards to the RPO game. How important is it in today's game to have an RPO type of quarterback like Jaden Daniels last year, and more importantly, like Haynes King in this Georgia Tech offense?
Well, I just think it really has problems for defenses nowadays, having the RPO, ability to run the football and take it around the end or throw it like that. He does a great job with that. And so I think it's still a major part of the game. You know, football every 10 to 12 years makes some changes. If you're going to stay in the game, you got to change with the times. But that's still a huge part of the game, and especially at Georgia Tech and what they do. So that's going to be hard for a Georgia State to take to handle, because basically they're not as talented enough to handle this Georgia Tech team.
We'll see how Georgia Tech plays. They do play Georgia State Saturday night. They're a 21.5-point favorite. Most likely the Yellow Jackets will move to 2-0 on the year. We mentioned Florida State losing that battle. They now have another conference game against Boston College and Thomas Castellanos, new head coach. Bill O'Brien is there. There's a lot of optimism. But more importantly, Coach, this was a team in Boston College that was a double-digit underdog last year in Chestnut Hill, and they pushed Florida State to the limit. What do you expect Saturday night in Tallahassee?
See, I think Florida State will play a great football game this week. I think they got a lot. They got their stuff handed to them last week, and they'll come out there and plan to play more aggressively to go after the victory instead of sitting back and waiting for the win. And so I really like Florida State and the change this attitude, because I'm not so much against Florida State or down on Florida State. I just was not happy. I thought with the way they played after they got behind against Georgia Tech and couldn't run the ball, I was a little bit disappointed in the game plan they continue to have towards the end of the game.
Is this more of a detriment to have two conference games right out of the get-go in regards to, you know, you're going to get the team's best shot, right? Florida State was undefeated in the conference. You know that Georgia Tech brought it last Saturday. Expect Boston College to bring it as well. So there's going to be a lot of pressure in regards to the continuity on the offensive line. You brought up the fact that they couldn't run the football consistently with Roy Dell Williams last week. What do you think out of the offensive line? How quick can they fix it to get it right for Saturday against Boston College?
Well, I think what you do to make the run go, like you said, I still think you have to attack people vertically downfield. You got to think get those safeties to think pass first, run second, because once they think run first, pass second, they're up to in the box. They're able to be unblocked defenders, and that's what happens. I think Florida State, based on what I saw last week, They need to make sure that running game ties in with a vertical passing game. They threw flares. They threw dump passes last week. They went downfield twice against Virginia Tech last week and dropped one and overthrew one. Well, pass interference and overthrew one. They've got to attack more, and that'll open up the running game.
And we saw Florida State open early as a 20.5 point favorite. It is now down to 17.5, coach. People do not buy into the Seminoles, but I do feel they get the victory and the cover Saturday night in Tallahassee. Coach and I will be with you all season long. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled out Marley's, Jane. Bah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.